Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good. I've just found a bottle of essential oil blend cleaning spray mist next to where I'm recording, so that might get sprayed at some point during the podcast. You know what? I'll do it now. I want to do it now. Oh, it smells so good. That's gone on my computer. Brilliant. That's going to be problematic soon. How have you been, Chris? I've had a really, really good week. It's been a lot of fun.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic or not. I've had a good day.
Yeah. What have you done?
I've got a haircut. Because the emergency's lifted across Japan. I mean, it's been lifted in Miyagi up north now for quite a few weeks, but they finally lifted it in Tokyo, and I figured it's time to get a haircut. So I went out, got a haircut today, and now I look rather good. Although I did mess up a key Japanese phrase. When I walked in, I was talking about how sweaty I was because it was quite hot, and I sort of said to him,
right.
Oh, aseo kaitana, which means like I'm sweating a lot. But I copped it up and I said, aseo kaseida, which literally translates as, I've earned the sweat. I've earned the sweat. I've earned the sweat, which sounds like some sort of crappy proverb that I've just created on the fly. Other than that,
sounds sexy.
Good day so far. Yeah. Why are you in such a good mood then? What's so good?
The sun's shining. Things are starting to get back to normal. I've read that apparently the nightclub GAY down the corner of my street is going to be selling takeaway beers from this week. So I think Soho's going to get back on its feet. Soho's going to become like a kind of weird kind of unofficial pride for the next couple of months as the sunny days continue. So yeah, it's been good. Things are getting back on its feet. Politically, everyone is going to be breaking lockdown fairly soon, thanks to the government SPAD / advisor / spin doctor Dominic Cummings, because he broke lockdown to go up north to just dick about for a bit. And obviously that's a big, big controversial subject here in England. So there's a lot of there's a government minister resigned this morning. We're recording a week in advance. God knows how that one's going to pan out, but he's done irrevocable damage, irreparable damage to the lockdown by being an idiot and the Prime Minister supporting him.
For those of you that don't know who Dominic Cummings is, he's sort of Boris Johnson's puppet master who hides in a shed around the back of number 10 Downing Street. And the fact he broke the rules is ridiculous given his position right at the top of the tree. Don't know how he got there in the first place. But anyway, ridiculous.
Didn't get voted in.
I'd say things are kind of normal, but with caveats. Like if you go to a restaurant here, you have to sit apart from other people. Many places you have to wear a mask. So I've got a funky black face mask made out of fabric, which is so much more comfortable than the kind of medicinal doctor's masks that most people wear here, the sort of bright white ones. And I've seen Ryotaro the last couple of days. Just around the corner, he's been working on his channel, Ryotaro's Japan, and I helped him as a cameraman as we gradually build out the Abroad in Japan cinematic universe with Ryotaro Japan. I'm going to go and see Natsuki as well next week for the first time since we both saw him together in Sapporo. So I'm really excited. It feels like things are going to start happening soon. I just can't wait to get out of the damn apartment and stop hearing my bloody neighbours upstairs bumping around and doing all sorts of annoying things. Bloody neighbours.
They are bumpers. But surely Natsuki, if Natsuki's back in the picture, surely you could get a haircut from him.
I thought about it, but I thought I want to meet Natsuki while looking stylish. I've earned the sweat. I want to turn up to Natsuki and already look kind of good. I've lost a bit of weight, given that I've been wandering around, and I wanted the haircut to go with it. I wanted to surprise him. So he sees me come out of the car and I can swagger over and he'll be like, "Whoa, Chris, you've lost weight and your hair's good." And I'll be like, "Yeah, I took advantage of the coronavirus. I took advantage of the quarantine."
By getting a stomach worm. You were doing a live little chat, I think, on Saturday, I think it was.
Yeah, I did a live show.
Popped in, said I liked your little beard, and then disappeared again. You didn't comment. You missed my comment. So you look like you were having
fun. Damn you. You mean you didn't watch the entire live show? For those that missed
it, responsibilities.
There was. No, that's not good enough, Pete. I did talk about you a few times. Mostly flattering.
Oh, bless.
But yeah, I did a live show. Bless. I kind of got into the habit of it since our Sapporo live show that we did back in February, then one for my birthday. I thought I'd do it again because it's quite fun. And I got this little 1980s diorama. I don't know if you saw. Right at the start of the show, I pulled it out. And it's this little diorama that I've built in my free time. And I love it. And I bought a green screen. I'm going to green screen myself like into the tiny diorama, which sounds a bit mental. But if it works, it'll be phenomenal. But I suspect it won't work.
You could be like a naughty Sim. Get one of those little sort of green gems on top of your head. You know, like the Sims. Get one of those little green gems to stick on top of your head.
Brilliant. I'll do that. But yeah, it's been a funny week. Obviously, coronavirus is improved a little bit in Japan. There was a ridiculous news story, which I'll get to in a moment. But Japan kind of it dropped the emergency, given that the number of cases has dropped dramatically from its peak of 700. And all in all, Japan has fared pretty well compared to the US and the UK and most other countries, which is extraordinary given that Japan sort of cocked it up. If you recall back in April, it received a lot of criticism, given that they were hosting the Olympics, 8 years in the making, billions of dollars, and they didn't want to cancel it. And a lot of people thought they kind of suppressed the numbers. Anyway, once they cancelled it, numbers started to rise, ultimately peaking at 700 deaths, I think, in a single day. 700 cases in a single day. But looking back now, Japan has had 16,000 cases and 784 deaths, which isn't that significant compared to the US. So it's not a pretty big number compared to the US or the UK. US has had 1.6 million cases and 93,000 deaths, and the UK has had 250,000 cases and 35,000 deaths. So Japan has fared pretty well given its population of 126 million and the fact it's got a vulnerable elderly population, one of the largest elderly populations in the world. So why do you think that is, Pete? What do you think? Why do you think Japan has fared better than other countries now that I've made you an expert in virology?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of the tourism to Japan is Chinese. Chinese are very proactive when it came to
when it came to shutting down their part of the operation. But obviously, it's a no contact culture. There's a lot of bowing and a lot of there's no handshakes. They're very sort of meticulously clean, and they do wear face masks. And that was something that was sort of posited when Japan's cases were very, very low. But I think a lot of people thought that was a political manoeuvre by Shinzo Abe to sort of basically say, and his operation, to basically say, look, we're open for business, we're open for the Olympics. But it seems that all of the steps made by the Japanese has really flattened a rather, not inconsequential, but a rather low amount of cases compared to the people who are around them. But then again, South Korea did excellent work shutting down a lot earlier than everyone else. They were very aware of things, and yeah, they just took responsible measures as and when. I am very much enjoying the next thing you're going to be talking about, though, the Japanese TV program, Chris.
Yeah, so experts claim that the very low obesity rates, the low contact culture, and the adoption of face masks is the main reason, or one of the biggest reasons, Japan fared well. But the other day on TBS, one of Japan's biggest news channels, there was a ridiculous little scene where they showed a woman, just a Japanese woman, with a piece of paper clipped in front of her face, and they made her say the line in Japanese, "Kore wa pen desu." Right, which means this is a pen, the infamous Japanese phrase. One of the first Japanese phrases you learn when you learn the language, and one of the few phrases that you'll never, ever actually use, ironically. Then, after she's said, "Kore wa pen desu," you can see the paper sways only very slightly in front of her face because of the way she's breathing out when she speaks. And then she says the line, "This is a pen," in English, and this time the paper snaps violently against the kind of her breath that emanates from her mouth. It's all really dramatic, and they cut to the studio where one of the presenters is like, "Sawai, oh my God, this is it. This is probably the reason that Japan is so brilliant, because our language doesn't lead people to breathe out much when we speak." And the whole TV show is so happy and delighted. And they kind of claim that maybe this is it. This is the reason why the spread of infections in Japan has been so low. Pronunciation between different languages. English is rubbish. Yeah. Japanese is brilliant. Oh my God, it's that weird. It's that ridiculous.
Well, they do have softer peas, don't they? That is true. That is effectively very true. And maybe that is 0.0001%. Or 0.00001% why people are getting sick from it. But yeah, it seems rather fanciful, especially when people who are eating noodles are slopping it all over the place when they're going and all that business. Well, so, you know, we don't do that for one.
It wasn't the most scientific test, though. Like, she literally just gets a piece of paper in front of her face and says, "Kore wa pen desu," and then the paper doesn't move. And then she says it in English, this is a pen, in much more dramatic fashion. Obviously, the paper's going to move. Ridiculous, but that's it.
Enjoyable.
Wasn't the face masks, wasn't the universal healthcare, or the low obesity rate, or the low contact culture.
Yeah.
It was Kore wa pen desu.
Nobody needs a pen. Everyone's using computers nowadays. Computer.
Have you actually ever used the phrase Kore wa pen desu? It is like the first day of learning Japanese, they always use that phrase. Don't know why.
Is in pitsu, is that pencil? I forget what that is. Oh, right, okay, so they do use pen. I just presumed it was the same word. No, I've never had to use that unless... I did ask someone, where are the pens in a shop? But I did you know, so it's probably quite
that's
a similar
a good
sentence.
Question, though, isn't it?
That is
Everyone
a good
needs to
question.
Know where the pens are.
In Tokyo
Definitely.
Hands.
I think it's because the phrase "kore wa pen desu," you can learn everything you need to about Japanese grammar right there and then, right? Kore wa, how to kind of the subject, and how wa means regarding, and then pen, the object. I don't know. I think that's the main reason why. But one thing for sure is it wasn't the main reason. I don't think it was the main reason that Japan fared very well in the face of the global pandemic. But that's not been the only news story that's been on my radar this week. A lot of you guys listening in have been messaging me the last few days. I don't know if you've heard about this, Pete, but obviously the number of tourists coming to Japan, the foreign travellers, are dramatically lower this year, unsurprisingly. 99.9% lower than 2019 with just 2,900 foreign travellers in April. I don't even know how they got here because I think all the airports were closed anyway. But as a result, the Japanese government has been talking about subsidising tourism. And there was a report, I think, in the Japan Times a few days ago that said that the government's looking at spending $12 billion, trillion yen, on encouraging tourism within Japan. Although it was mostly focused on domestic tourism. But then somehow loads of like online media outlets that clearly don't do their homework took this as to mean that the Japanese government was funding foreign tourists coming to Japan, basically covering half their costs. So if, say, you come to Japan sometime later this year, Pete, half of your costs would have been covered. It sounded very good to be too good to be true. I got a comment here from Liam. It says, guys, I know I'm probably getting super excited over something that very well could get shot down, but have you seen or heard anything about Japan planning to set aside a large chunk of money to subsidise the cost for tourists? I read that the gentleman in charge of Japan's tourism is saying he'd like to set aside $12.5 billion to help pay for up to half of something like that of people's trips, starting hopefully in July. Given that I've cancelled my trip, this would be amazing and brilliant. Sorry to rain on your parade, Liam, but that won't be happening. They might do something, but the budget they set aside was mainly for domestic tourists. They're going to have like vouchers and things to encourage people to travel within Japan. I think right now the Japanese government has put foreign tourism kind of on the back burner, which isn't much of a surprise, to be honest.
No.
Are you disappointed to hear that, Pete?
I did hear about that over the weekend, but you do sort of think, well, listen, even if they decide to use some of that 12.5 billion whatever
dollars
to subsidize tourism, there's going to be a lot of forms to fill in, and by the end of it you're not going to want to go. So don't worry about it. They will require many forms to be filled in if you want to go. So I think the process would be so painful you would at the end of it not even want to travel. I think you'd be so exhausted.
And even then, $12.5 billion wouldn't cover half the cost of a night out with Pete Donaldson in Shibuya.
I know.
Anyway.
Yeah, 5 Wagyu steak, baby. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Dear, oh dear. But you're right about the paperwork. I think I mentioned last week the 100,000 yen the Japanese government has given to everyone in the country who's a resident, right? But I don't know anyone that's got it yet because the paperwork is substantial.
Extensive.
And even then, the local government authorities that are kind of overseeing it just don't know what's going on. Apparently it's a chaotic nightmare. That's what happens when you use exclusively paper.
Correct.
For Speedy Japanese this week, we got an email from Graham from Canada. He says, hi, Chris and Pete. Listening to the latest podcast and hearing about whiskey, which we discussed last week, listening about whiskey got me wondering how you would order drinks at a bar. For example, how would you order neat or on the rocks? Thanks, guys. Stay safe and healthy. Cheers from Graham from Canada. Do you know the answer to this, though, Pete? Given you like to drink whiskey, and I remember what last time you were in Kyushu, you spent an unfathomable sum of money on a glass of hibiki. Did you actually know how to pronounce it or say that in Japanese?
I just usually point at the whiskey. Is that a glass of whiskey, a glass of something, a pint of something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ippai.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a choose your whiskey. You go hibiki, ippai, onegaishimasu. It is pidgin Japanese, but I get by with it.
To be fair, I mean, whiskey in Japanese is just whiskey, right? Whiskey. Mm. It's pronounced with an oo sound, like oo whiskey. But the three main ways people drink whiskey on the rocks with water, with soda here, it's quite easy to say it, and I'll teach you them now. Whiskey on the rocks, it's just rokude, right? Rokude, on the rocks. With water, what's water in Japanese, Pete?
Mizu.
Hey. Yes, it's mizu wari. Mizu wari. Wari is a word that means kind of part of, so part water,
right.
Mizu wari. And then what do you think soda is in Japanese, Pete?
I'm going to go with soda or soda.
Close, yeah. Soda. It's like an elongated O, so soda. And again, wari, soda wari. So there you go. Mizu wari with water. Soda wari with soda. and Rokure on the rocks. And then you can just say Suntory whiskey, Rokure onegaishimasu if you want Suntory whiskey on the rocks. It's as simple as that. What do you reckon, please?
Rokure.
Give it a stab.
Suntory whiskey, Rokure onegaishimasu.
Perfect. Yeah, that'd be enough. Alternatively.
Well, the marker de is like inside or kind of if you want uchide, I don't know, go, like walk through, well, like, walk it means... through a park or something. Uchi is house, isn't it? Sorry, your own house. I'm getting confused. Koen de
whiskey in the house. Ikimasu.
Like, koen de ikimasu, would that be like walk through the park or something? Like inside the park? So the rocks are in the whiskey or the whiskey's inside the rocks?
Yeah, like the way you'd use the particle de means kind of like by way of. So what you're saying there, rokure,
right,
is literally by way of rocks, like by means of rocks, like on the rocks. Rokure. These are wari de. It's all the wari de. But yeah, it's pretty simple. To be fair, you could just walk into a bar and go, whiskey, and it would work. But if you can say, Suntory whiskey, rokure onegaishimasu, then it might give you the edge, and it might
be
the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Exactly. There's always a menu as well. Just point at that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Japan.
Are you struggling to find something to watch during lockdown? You've drained Netflix, rewatched all your old favourites, and now you need something new? Well, we're here to help. Join us for Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death.
Release the Kraken.
Well, not death. We just decide which one is better.
When they do a long shot of the crowd in the Ivory Tower, it's different to the close-up. And if you look closely, you can see E.T., Mickey Mouse, Chewbacca, Ewoks, and C-3PO.
So when Wolfgang Petersen went to Spielberg, went, yeah, could you maybe re-edit my movie? Steven Spielberg went, yeah. Do you know what I'm probably going to cut out? E-T, mate. I made that. Find your new favourite movie or revisit an old classic with me, Alex Zane, Vicky Crompton and Chris Tilley. New episodes out every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Now let's turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson, in the fax machine?
We've got a message from Kimberly from New Zealand. Hello, the almighty Chris and Pete. Why did I call you almighty, you may ask? Well, I was watching Primetime TV and noticed that you were on an ad on TV. This is how you know you've made it. You end up on New Zealand TV. Both my dad and I shouted, Chris, when we saw it was you, as I've got him hooked on watching your YouTube channel as well. Both of our favourites being When English Goes Wrong in Japan. Would you consider doing a podcast episode where you focus heavily on the Japanese language, such as methods in helping learn the language, especially during lockdown? What's most important to focus on learning and wanting to have a conversation with people and advice you both may have? I wish you two all the best and all the sanity during this time. Keep up the great work with the podcast, Kimberly from New Zealand. We've done a couple of episodes where we sort of focused on less speedy Japanese, I think it's fair to say, Chris, but why the hell were you on the telly is the question I'd like to know.
I don't know this. I saw somebody else mention this on Twitter. I don't, if I'm on an ad on New Zealand TV, I want to know about it because I don't know what this is for or why this is a thing. Or if it's even me, it's probably someone else. It's probably Jake Gyllenhaal because apparently I look like a fat Jake Gyllenhaal, according to viewers, or a crumbled Elon Musk, or just anyone who looks awful, it's me. So I'm not convinced it's me on that TV ad, but if you have any more details, Kimberly, I would like to know. Or anyone in New Zealand, if you see me, snap it or tell me what the hell's going on, because I want to know if someone's just stolen my image for some sort of bizarre commercial on New Zealand TV, which is something that doesn't happen often.
Someone's done a sexy deep fake of you.
Oh, God.
You're getting up to all kinds of
nonsense. Someone did that once. Someone has done that. And it's quite worrying. Someone superimposed my face onto Ryotaro, and it's horrifying, absolutely horrifying. And I think deepfake should be illegal as a result. As for learning Japanese, I don't know if it's worth doing a whole podcast dedicated to it, because I feel like language learning is a medium best done visually, not audibly. I don't know. I think there's loads of videos on the Abroad in Japan channel. If you just type in how to learn Japanese tips and advice, Abroad in Japan, you'll get a playlist of like the numerous videos I've made over the years covering Japanese, and I'd say that's better. But we do have Speedy Japanese every week, so keep an eye out for that. And if you are listening, Kimberly, hopefully now you know how to ask for whiskey next time you're in Japan. There you go.
Hope you like whiskey.
Valuable Japanese there. We've got one from Ruben. He says, hi, Christopher and Peter. Whoa, full names. My name's Ruben, and I live in a place called Thornaby in Teesside. I'm sure Pete knows where that is. Do you know where that is, Pete?
Where you just have to get the train from when you have to just come from down south. If you ever go to Hartlepool, you had to change in Thornaby, I seem to recall, until the Grand Central train started running.
Some beautiful, nostalgic history. My question, says Ruben, is I'm wondering what the Japanese perceived idea of South Korean things are. For example, they erased the Samsung name of their Samsung Galaxy advertising. I think what he's referencing there is Samsung phones. They don't have the Samsung logo on, which I'll get to in a sec. He says, the Japanese seem very friendly to everyone. Does this include the South Koreans? Thank you for reading out my email, and I hope you and Pete stay safe. Regards, Ruben. I think what you'll find is people here don't really like the South Korean government. They tend not to single out just South Korean people in general, but there's definitely a lot of animosity between the two countries that's often exacerbated throughout the year for political means. And yeah, I remember when Ryotaro showed me his Samsung phone, the name had been taken off the back of it just because they don't
sell as well.
Know
they don't, Samsung. They, oh. Isn't that interesting?
Weird, isn't
Well, bearing in mind they're a bit of a market leader out in the east, it's a very fascinating situation. And I think you've got to remember that we have a slightly interesting ideas about what Shinzo Abe's government is. Like, Shinzo Abe is and has always been quite right wing, quite authoritarian, quite, you know, they want to return to a Japanese, you know, militarized capacity and stuff like that. So it's not like... it's not like you've got like someone who would be regarded as being center right in Britain, like a Barack Obama kind of figure. Like the people in his cabinet do pick fights where the fights do not need to be picked, let's say.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And he's not at all popular at the moment amongst the population for various things he's done, various shady things. But no, there is a lot of animosity. It's a shame. But nevertheless, there is a lot of tourism between the two countries, and on a person-by-person basis, people here tend to get along. But yeah, it's a bit of a sore subject. We did do a good podcast comparing South Korea and Japan, though, because both Pete and I visited Korea more or less at the same time, actually, and compared both countries, pros and cons. So give that a listen. I think that was about 2 years ago now. Got one from Lauren. I'll hand that over to you, Pete, as I sip on my coffee.
Oh, I was sipping on that coffee. Unbelievable. Got one from Lauren. Let me just turn my phone the right way. We've got one from Lauren. Hi, Chris and Pete. Greetings from California. I've been watching Chris's YouTube videos for a few years now and listening to the podcast since it started. I am never disappointed. I've just booked my first trip to Japan for my 30th birthday in March 2021. Exciting. When I travel, I like to generally stay in one area for most of my trip and really get to know the area and locals. I booked a hotel for 2 weeks in Fukuoka because of cherry blossoms. They'll be in bloom around about that time, and there are a lot of tattoo-friendly onsens in Kyushu. I was wondering if either of you had any other suggestions for activities in Kyushu for late March, early April. Thank you in advance, and keep up the amazing work, Lauren. It's a great plan. Great plan, isn't it, Chris? I'm a big fan of just picking one of the islands and just kind of floating around there. I had a lovely time last time I went to Japan, and actually the last two times I went to Japan I spent in mainland Kyushu. In the rain, Miyazaki and Kagoshima and places like that. So, yeah, had a lovely old time.
I would recommend Beppu, the hot spring town. I don't think you've been there yourself, Pete.
No.
But it's one of Japan's biggest hot spring towns. And it's really cool because you kind of come over the mountain and it's surrounded by mountains. It's nestled next to the inland sea. And you just see all this steam rising out from different places across the town because of the hot springs, which are kind of spewing out across the city, and it's quite a sight to behold. But Beppu, it's a really nice little town, lots of cool back streets to explore. The kind of little back streets have steam rising out of vents everywhere, so it's got this really kind of cool, almost like not a gritty 1980s New York setting. But no, I highly recommend Beppu and maybe Mount Aso as well, Japan's largest super volcano. It's quite the sight to behold. Have a great time though, Lauren. You'll have an amazing time.
Yeah.
Libby says, hi, Chris and Pete. Greetings from Chicago, the windy city. I used to listen to your podcast on my way to uni where I stared out the train window at forests and neat rows of houses, which gave way to warehouses, breweries, and alleyways. Now I listen to it while dusting and vacuuming. Your bright voices keep me entertained while doing mundane chores. My question for you is about nicknames and nickname culture in Japan. My given name is Elizabeth, but I go by Libby. Not the most common nickname, but I love it. In a professional setting, how would you go about introducing your nickname? Can you introduce yourself by your nickname, or should you give your full name, then explain your preferred name? Keep up the great work and stay healthy. All the best, Libby, which is a difficult name for a Japanese person to pronounce, given it's the...
Enjoy that, Ribby.
Ribby. That would be a common mistake.
That's it.
But then Elizabeth is also a tricky one. Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Sue? Good Lord.
Yeah, Elizabeth.
Whichever way she goes, it's pretty problematic, I guess, isn't it? But I think Ribby would be the preferred one, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you, to be honest. I have never introduced myself as Christopher, which, you know, just saying the full name makes me shudder. And I imagine you would call yourself Pete when you're here. To be honest, Pete, you'd be like, I'm Peter this. It'd be like,
Peter. I usually go for because it's just a little bit easier for everyone. Yeah, because Peter rather than Pito. It's a bit close to Pito, isn't it? So nobody needs that.
The thought had never crossed my mind. Yeah, just choose whatever you want, to be honest, Libby. Just go with Libby if you want that. It's very rare to introduce your name and then be like, but don't call me that, call me this. I just choose what you want and it's fine. If it's the nickname or the name that you want to be called the most, that's the one to go for. So Libby it is. And Libby, it shall be. We've got one from Kevin and Noel. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name's Kevin from I can't pronounce that. How do you pronounce that, Pete? Lafayette, Louisiana?
Lafayette, yeah. Beautiful. You know Lafayette. I think there was in True Blood, there was a character called Lafayette. I've never watched a single episode of True Blood, but I had to do a internet quiz show. I had to administer an internet quiz show.
Oh, right.
So I had to learn a lot of the characters from True Blood. And it was filmed in a graveyard. And it was really spooky and weird. So I had to do a little crash course in True Blood. But I do believe there's a character called Lafayette in that show.
Who knew? Who knew that would pay off one day, all these years later, in the Abroad Japan podcast, by knowing how to pronounce it. My name's Kevin from Lafayette, Louisiana. My fiance and I are avid viewers and listeners to the podcast and the videos. And our question to both of you is, if you could share any traditional Japanese meal with any famous person alive or dead, what would you eat and who would you share it with? Sincerely, Kevin and Noel. That's a good question. Who would you share it with, Pete? I'd put you on the spot.
I'd have ramen with the Baha men who let the dogs out.
That is the most annoying song. Why would you choose them? Solely because it rhymes?
Yes, solely because it rhymes. What have you been doing this week? I've been enjoying some ramen with the Baha men.
Brilliant.
And no further questions. I'm taking no further questions.
I hope you would play the song, the infamous song, as you eat the ramen with the Baha men. As for me, I think it'd have to be an assortment of sashimi paired with a fine cloudy sake in the company of Elon Musk, just because I gave him his birthday cake once and I think I deserve like a Tesla Roadster or just a Tesla Model 3 as a result. And I would spend the 2 to 3 hours over the meal trying to convince him to give me a car for free because I gave him a birthday cake once. So, profitable meal.
Well, he's had to rename his child, hasn't he? Because the state of California only allow 26 letters. And I think you're allowed grammar marks as well. So there you go.
I didn't know how to pronounce it. Took me half a day to pronounce that name. I don't know what they've changed it to either.
They've basically recreated the characters that they had before in the name to just use like hyphens and stuff to make the same sort of looking name.
Is it a boy or a girl? Can't remember.
I think it might be a girl. I think it might be a girl.
Can't I just call it like Lucy or something? Keep it simple.
Have you seen the SpaceX new spacesuits that they're going to be using in the trip to the International Space Station later this week?
I have not. Are they good?
Oh my God, give it a Google. They obviously technology's come on. The fabrics that they can use has come on as well, and it just looks like they're cosplaying, like a really cheap cosplay as a spaceman. Like the suits are so like look thin looking and they're not very bulky. They look so futuristic, but also a bit crap at the same time. It's really interesting.
Brilliant.
It's going to be interesting to see them getting up there.
Nice one. I know what I'm doing straight after this. Gonna give
you it. Hugely.
Got one last message from Josh. I'll let you handle that. Well, I have the final sip
Josh
of my coffee.
Josh is from Hartlepool, which is where I'm from. Hello, Chris and Pete. I hope you are both doing well. My name is Josh from Hartlepool. And I'm writing to ask if you have any tips to better my Japanese pronunciation skills. I can't even speak English this morning, so don't ask
Terrible,
me.
Terrible, Pete.
Chris, was there anything... you've been up all day, so you're kind of in the routine, you're drinking coffee. For me, this show's the first thing I do in the morning, so I'm going from bed to podcast studio.
Do it in the bed.
Next week I'm going to do a show live from the bed. And I'm writing to ask you if you have any tips to better my Japanese pronunciation skills. Chris, was there any specific you did to not sound like a foreigner butchering the language? Thanks very much, guys. Keep up the good work. From Josh, smiley face.
I got an app, which I always talk about, called Human Japanese, and on that, you can press the buttons on the screen, and it tells you each character, like, ah, I, u, e, o, like the vowels, right? Mm. And I would literally just press the button over and hear it being pronounced, so ah, I, u, e, o, sa, shi, su, se, so, and I would just repeat them over and over until I felt like what I was saying was exactly the same as the little audio clip on the app. So get yourself an app doesn't have to be human Japanese, but some sort of app where you have all the Japanese vowels and characters being read out by someone, then just keep playing it over and mimicking it until you feel you've nailed it. And I found that, I did that in my first month when I got here, and people said my pronunciation at the time was really good. And it was, but then it got worse, to be honest. My pronunciation is often criticized online because I let it drop sometimes. I've cocked it up a few times in videos. But when I'm in the heat at the moment, I am all right. I can speak okay. But I would honestly just listen, keep listening, just repeat it out loud in a room alone where there's no distractions, because it can be quite a distraction if there's people around. Have you ever done anything like that, Pete, in your studies?
What do you mean, as in, like, work on my pronunciation? I remember for about 5 weeks, I had this guy come round, like a little sort of Japanese, a normal-sized tutor. a guy come round and teach you a bit of Japanese. But he would, there was some miscommunication. I'd given him the money for, you know, 8 lessons, and he thought that I hadn't. So we had this really sort of couple of awkward kind of episodes where he thought I hadn't paid him. He still did the lesson, but he was being really passive-aggressive and needlessly passive-aggressive and unprofessional. And then he checked his bank account and realised that he'd actually, you know, the money had actually gone into his account. So it was kind of tense. He did compliment me on my pronunciation, though, so there is that.
That's an amazing story. Why haven't I heard that before?
It was so intense. He obviously started with the te forms of everything, and he was sort of running through them, and he was just getting really arsey, and I couldn't figure out why. And then he told me over text that you have not paid me. I was like, mate, check your bank account, you absolute maniac. And yeah, it turns out I had paid him. So yeah, pay your tutors.
Yeah, avoid the passive aggressive tutors. And
yeah.
That's so weird, so random.
It really is.
But there you go, Josh, some useful tips there, probably. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, stay safe. And we'll be back next Wednesday to do it all over again. Take care.
Ta-ta.
Some whiskey. Whiskey rock.
On the rock.
A Stakhanov production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I mean,
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.